Ring for the butler, set a table for tea. The Crawleys are coming for the first time without Dame Maggie Smith.
If Mama were alive, what would she do?
6 TV seasons, 2 previous films, and now what producers are calling Downton Abbey the grand finale. Our critic Bob Mondello sounds skeptical.
Finale? Come on. I mean, it is grand, but with the first 2 movies having taken in nearly $300 million, it's hard to imagine this saga won't go on indefinitely. The Crawleys riding out the Blitz next time, maybe, someday having the Beatles to tea. For now, though, it's 1930, and scandal is brewing. Lady Mary, dressed in scarlet, wouldn't you know, is dancing at a stately home in London when the hostess, who's just seen a newspaper headline, pulls her and her parents aside.
Lady Mary must go now. She's divorced.
Divorced? Good heck. Wait, what?
I'm very sorry. I shouldn't have come.
This is a woman who once had a Turkish diplomat die in her bed. But never mind. Give series creator Julian Fellowes his plot points. There are, as always, a lot of them, from county fairs to the races at Ascot, and one financial one, this is the Great Depression, remember, that threatens the very existence of Downton.
Welcome back, my brother.
Cora.
The news is bad, isn't it?
How could you tell?
I've known you since you were born.
Harold's made a real mess of things, hasn't he?
He has.
Don't you see what this means for Downton?
Longtime viewers will be pleased to know that pretty much everyone is back, even in a sense those who've died. And there's also a visiting celebrity, playwright and entertainer Noel Coward, who delights in being provocative and who's always on the lookout for material.
Lady Mary, come and meet Noel.
Oh, I thought it was just a few locals. It's so good of you to come all this way.
I was talking earlier to your uncle about your divorce. What happened? Don't worry if you'd rather not say.
No, I'll say. We fought like cats. He wanted to be kingpin, but I was the heiress. And he was just the husband. He hated that.
How intriguing.
He's soon conjuring Private Lives, his most popular play, while we're checking in on the private lives of pretty much all the Downtonites. The old guard is retiring from the reluctant Earl.
It's hard to accept that it's time to go.
To Butler Carson, still worried about silver polishing, but waxing philosophical.
You look back and think about all the changes you've witnessed.
To Mrs. Patmore, who's handing the kitchen over to young Daisy.
You're the daughter I never had. I'll treasure those words.
Then there's Mary.
Families like ours must keep moving to survive.
Like sharks. The point of all this movement in narrative terms is keeping audiences engaged. After being wildly successful at that for nearly 15 years, Fellows and his crew aren't about to slacken in the stretch. They've introduced an American snake in the garden that is Downton to tempt Mary.
Surely you're entitled to have some fun.
And they've put a lot of signposts amid the beaded gowns and elegies to a bygone age.
This is Mary's time. She's in step with how to run this estate in the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s.
Which is why I'm not entirely convinced by all this talk of finales. There's a youngster named George on the sidelines here. He has nary a line, but as Mary's son, he will inherit Downton at some point. If I've got the chronology right, he's about 9 in 1930, meaning he'll be 18 when Germany marches into Poland, 31 when Elizabeth assumes England's throne, 42 when the Beatles release Love Me Do, at which point Mary and Edith will be approaching the age of the Dowager Countess and her frenemy Isabel. So I, for one, won't be surprised.
Long live Downton Abbey. Amen to that.
If this grand finale isn't all that final. I'm Bob Mondello.